Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
2 Chronicles 7 to 14. At the start of every year, I like to teach some concepts and some biblical patterns that will set us up for the year ahead, but also give our campus some foundations on which to build upon as the year goes ahead. So today is a bit more topical teaching. I'm going to be pulling apart some biblical concepts of this topic from the Bible and hopefully equip you for a message to live out Monday to Friday and not just on a Sunday. Is that okay? The title of the message today is Why Pray? I'm going to be speaking to you on the incredibly unglamorous topic of prayer. It's unglamorous, it's unsexy, it's prayer. It's simple, it's prayer. Like, I could tell you right now, hey, listen, name me five great pastors, you could do it. Name me five great churches, you could do it. Name me five incredible worship songs, you could probably do it. Name me five incredible connect leaders, you could do it. But if I said to you, hey, name me five great intercessors, you'd be like, not really sure. Why is that? It's because the whole basis of prayer is the basis of the kingdom of God. That what happens in private is between us and God, and what happens in private often enables this to happen in public. That prayer warriors are the real heroes of the faith. Prayer warriors are the ones that go behind the curtain. Prayer warriors are the ones that are on their knees. Prayer warriors are the ones that make everyone else look good because of the sacrifice and the prayer that they give in the kingdom of God. So today I want to speak to you on prayer. One of our cultures as a church is this: we are about faith. We believe in the power of prayer and seek after the miraculous in our lives. Now, in a room like this, I'm under no illusion that everyone's on different journeys. For some of you, you could be like a massive prayer intercessor on this journey. For some of you, it could be a discussion around mealtime. For some of you, you feel like, I haven't even got started yet. For others, maybe you feel like, man, Gaz, I've been doing this for years and years. I'm a prayer warrior. Wherever you are on the journey, all of us can get better. Wherever you are on the journey, there is no condemnation, there is no shame, but you need to know that none of us have arrived. Come on. None of us in this room have arrived yet. So the four things I want to speak to you about, the four key points from today, if you want to take this down, is this. We're going to look at this in a sec. Prayer changes me first. Prayer is necessary, not optional. Pray according to His will, not ours. And your prayer matters because of Jesus and His Spirit. Is that okay with you? Let's get into the Word of God. The Word of God, through the Old Testament all the way to the New, there is a pattern of prayer. There is a way to do prayer which is modeled through the Bible. And the pattern is this, is that every time God converses with His people, whenever time there is a conversation, wherever there is a time directed by a holy God to a people who need to pray, He often at times, in fact, He always at times, asks them first to change their heart before He engages with the rest of the conversation. You guys follow me this morning? He asks for you to play your part, for your heart to be softened and changed, and then God does the rest. The secondary is the change, but the primary is the change in our hearts. The secondary is the change in other people's hearts. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. 2 Chronicles is a time where God's people are spoken to and they are under Babylonian rule and reign. They are under captivity. They are not in freedom. And it's interesting that when God speaks through His king, Solomon, to His people, that He doesn't say, hey, if you just tell the people that they can ask me for freedom, if you could speak to people and tell, hey, look, like, take the walls down, give us a new king, give us a new regime, help us to escape, help us to get our identity as a people. Out of everything He could say, He says, hey, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek their face, then I'll hear from heaven. Then I'll answer. Then I'll change their land. Like, it's this picture of what prayer is. See, prayer isn't, God, would you change my spouse because they're a jerk? Like, has anyone prayed that prayer before? Do not put your hand up. God, change my spouse because they're a jerk. Change my family because they're jerks. No, like that's not prayer. Prayer starts up with God. Help me see how I am contributing to this. God, help me see how I can change in the middle. That's my first starting point. Father, Show me how I can align to you so that I can be changed and then let change happen in others around me. Can you see what prayer is and what it isn't? Can you see the differences between having a selfish motive of wanting others to change but not really being changed yourself? In fact, that's not prayer. That's a demand on intentions from God, and that's what the religious rulers used to do. It asks for change in ourselves. We have to get the order right to align with what Jesus teaches on prayer. Prayer first aligns us with our Father in order that we are changed, and then we petition for change around us. Aligns us with our Father for change, then we petition for change around us. The first step in examining your prayer life isn't necessarily how much you pray, where you pray, the location. All those things are well to do. But the primary factor of examining your prayer life is asking yourself this question: am I being changed? Am I being changed? Every early church father, go back, study the early church, every 37 doctorate of the early church history, every single one of them, everyone agrees that you can't have a developing discipleship journey in your faith if you do not have a prayer life. In fact, this is the one common thread through all of them. No long-lasting spiritual formation is ever possible without a prayer life. Let me say that again. No long-lasting spiritual formation is ever possible without a prayer life. Someone say, prayer changes me first. Prayer changes me first. Prayer is necessarily not optional. Prayer isn't like a break in case of emergency kind of scenario. I want to encourage you that it is necessary, not optional. It would be an incomplete and inaccurate exegesis of the text to look at it and think, well, you know, God's saying, hey, listen, guys, you know, that thing called prayer, if you could do it, like that would be cool. But you don't have to, but you know, if you can, maybe like every second day, that's not what God was speaking to his people about. He was saying, if my people, the condition wasn't on if they pray, the condition was on what he would do when they pray. The condition isn't on God saying to us, hey, listen, if you could pray, I know you're busy tomorrow, like I know what it's like, but you know, like if you could. No, God says, hey, when you pray, then this is what I will accomplish according to my will. How serious is scripture about this? Matthew 6:5-7. When you pray, Jesus saying, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Jesus goes on to teach about the how to pray and the what to say and the how when you're praying, you got to go to the secret place and don't just do it in public like the hypocrites do, for they seek their reward from man, but your reward is from heaven. He teaches that it's private before it's public, that it is powerful but yet personal. And the starting point of this whole conversation is this: when you pray, when you pray. Jesus said of his bride, the church in the Gospels, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Yeah. He could say it could be a house of anything. It could be a house of great worship. It could be a house of where the words teach, and it certainly is. It could be a house where the next generation is flourishing, and it certainly is. It's not negating those things, but everything that Jesus could say of his bride, he makes a point to say, my house shall be called a house of prayer. In 2024 Nations Belmont, I'd love to have more when we pray conversations rather than if we pray conversations. Come on. Come on, guys, come on. I want to resolve to be a kind of church that has more when you pray conversations than if you pray conversations. Out of everything that the disciples could see Jesus doing, out of everything they were witnessing him doing when he was walking around teaching them, they saw some incredible things. Think about being a disciple. Out of anything you could ask Jesus, like if you were there, I'd be like, man, like Jesus, you know how like you answered the religious rulers and the Pharisees and you just quoted scripture. It was like that. Like, was that internal? Did it just come? Did you have to go to the synagogue for that when you were younger? Like how did that, I see how, you know, the lepers, you didn't care what anyone did and you touched them even though, you know, you touched what was unclean and so you yourself could have been unclean. How did you do that? Oh, geez, this is a good one. Like, you know, when you were like walking on water, if you could teach me how to do that as well. Like, think about the things the disciples could have asked Jesus. Could have asked him to teach them anything. Anything. The only time in Scripture we are told, in the Gospels, disciples asked Jesus to teach them anything, it was, "Lord, teach us to pray." That's how important prayer is in the Gospels. That's how important it was to the disciples, to the early church, to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. It was important enough for the disciples to say, "We've seen you do stuff, and we've seen you constantly retreat, Jesus. You go up and you come back. And out of everything that you've done, we want to know what is the secret, because it seems to be what you do when you go in private." They were drawing a correlation between the fact that what happens in prayer produces all the things that we want in power. Come on. What happens in the private produces everything that we want to see in the kingdom of God in the public arena. Luke 11, when it came to pass, they said, "Teach us how to pray." And the Bible's very clear that, prayer isn't like a one-time thing. It's not like, listen, like, you know, prayers on Sundays or revival prayer night's coming up, let's kind of get it there. And if you're on that journey, let me encourage you again that we are all on this journey in this room. Come on, we're all on the journey. But the lessons from the Bible clearly establishes to us that the power of prayer is linked to the persistence of prayer. To the persistence of prayer. In Luke 18, Jesus tells a parable of a persistent widow. So this widow comes to an unjust judge, comes to the unjust judge, and is just on his case day after day, persistent after being persistent after being persistent, does not leave him alone. And the unjust judge eventually just is like, "Oh, fine. You can, like, whatever it is, you can have it. Like, it's done. I'm washing my hands. I'm moving on." And Jesus says, "How much more so your heavenly Father responds to his children based on how good he is because of the persistence of his children." I want to encourage you, Nations Church Belmont, in 2024, have a persistent prayer life. I wonder what God could do with a church that had a persistent prayer life. And come on, we've all been there. I've been there. You have that prayer point. You pray for it. Maybe it's like 2 weeks. Like, awesome, that's like my record, right? And then kind of get shelved for, like, let's be honest, a few months. Then it pick it back up again. And we kind of get angry at God, like, "God, why? I wonder what God could do with a church that has a persistent prayer life. A persistent prayer life. There was an incredible story of a church I was following, started 2023. They taught on prayer. And they said, "We are going to be a church that has a persistent prayer life." So everyone write down one thing. Everyone write down one thing, and they kept it. At the end of the year, they had just testimony after test. They had a Sunday where they just started to read out line upon line upon line upon line of all their congregation. Why? Because they had a persistent prayer life. Like, I'm here to tell you, church, either the word's true or it's not. Yeah. Come on, church. Yeah. Either the word's true or it's not. We got to believe what it says and actually put it into practice in our own lives. Let's have a persistent prayer. Let's decide for ourselves that prayer isn't just optional, it's necessary. I wonder what God could do without persistent prayer. I wonder what breakthrough, what strengthening, what doors to be open, what doors to close, what God could do with saints who are persistent day after day, what God could do with saints who have a prayer life that isn't just optional for them, but absolutely necessary. Also, I want to encourage you, pray according to his will, not ours. Can I encourage you, pray according to his will, not ours? How many people know in this room that our wills are not a good thing? Let's be honest. Our wills are bathed in sin. Like, however good a person you think you are, I guarantee you, you fail the test before God. I hate to break it to you, right? Like that, we in ourselves, outside of Christ, we fall short. Thank God that we can pray according to his will. The disciples said, "Jesus, how do we pray? Like, we teach us to pray. We don't know what to say because we've been walking and seeing you do things. And you keep saying, I only do what I see my Father do. So help us to learn what you're saying." And he said to them, Matthew 11, 2-5, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. If you look at this prayer, it's broken down into these six petitions, three requests each. One request and the starting of the request is the request of the kingdom of God to be made manifest in our lives. It's to encounter the presence of the living God. God, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done? But the second three requests are stating, God, would you do something right now in the midst of your people, even though the finality of your kingdom hasn't truly arrived yet? You guys follow me so far? So the Jewish person, when they heard this would have made sense. Because the Jewish person, they didn't always just live for the here and now, for God invading that space. They live for the finality of the kingdom of God. So their whole vibe was, we're waiting for Jesus to come and restore the kingdom of God back to where we are right now. That's their whole belief system. So at the time, they were worried about the end. And Jesus, when he said this, it would have been like groundbreaking. It would have been earth-shattering for a Jewish person to hear this. Whoa, 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 whoa. You mean that God is interested in the here and now of my prayer and also the not yet of my prayer? You mean to know that God is interested, theologians call this now, not yet, that he's interested in the now of your faith and the not yet of your faith, that he's near to you and he's interested in the now of your prayer life, but he's also interested in the not yet of your prayer life. He's interested in the prayers where you call upon his kingdom. Would you invade my workspace? Would you invade my high school? Would you invade where I am right now, my family, the situation that I don't have control over? God, would you invade this? But also, God, I look forward to the day that comes where there is no sickness and no illness. Can you see how God's interested in both those spaces? Come on, can you see that? What's evident in this prayer life that Jesus is trying to develop with his disciples is that it's about God's will being done. God's will. What is God's will? God's will that none should perish. God's will that his children should have provision. God's will that his children should live in favor. God's will that his children are the head, not the tail. God's will that even in suffering, we are strengthened. God's will that breakthrough and the miraculous are part of his sovereign nature. That's God's will for his children. Do I believe in answered prayer? Absolutely, yes and amen. It's God's will for his children. But do I also believe in God's will that he strengthens us in suffering? Absolutely as well. And we hold both tensions in our hands, but we can bring them before a loving and graceful Father. Friend, pray according to his will. God, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done? I don't know when the breakthrough comes. I don't understand the timings of God. I don't know how long the pressing season lasts. But I know this, that God's sovereignty won't do for you what your prayerful preparation lacks. God's not some genie that's going to ta-da, do something for you that your prayerful preparation hasn't been diligent in seeking in 2024. Would Nations Church Belmont be a church that prays, God, not my will but yours? I constantly pray for this church. I pray for the families. I've got a database that I go through every week, and I pray for every one of you, and I pray, God, would this church be alive in your love? Would we grow in unity? Would we grow in peace? God, would we grow in salvations? Would we grow and fill chairs? Not for the sake of filling chairs, but because there's lost people out there that still need to come in the kingdom of God. And I pray all those things. But at the end of every prayer, I said, but God, whatever the case, your kingdom come and your will be done, because my dreams might be just a drop in the ocean to what you have for me. Let your kingdom come, oh God. Let your will be done in my life. And if you're in this room, you say, Gaz, that's good for you to say. You're a pastor. I don't really kind of know where to start. Well, if you want to start praying prayers according to his will, can I encourage you, pray the word. Pray the word. If you're like, Gaz, man, I don't know. Here's a great application point if you're taking notes. Pray the word. If you don't know what, I don't know how to pray over my anxiety, flick it across. 1 John, perfect love, cast out all fear. Sweet. I don't know how to pray about anxiety, cool. Go to Philippians, pray a prayer. God, I thank you that this says that you drive out anxiety and that your peace resolves within me. Pray it out. Oh, God, I'm feeling like I'm a bit low. Go to the Psalms. Oh, God, I thank you. David said that even in my worst day, the shadow of the Almighty, I can abide in, for he is my refuge and my strength, my fortress, and whom I trouble. Pray the word. If you want to have a better prayer life in 2024 and you don't know where to start, real simple. Pray that device that's in your hand right now. Use it. Open the Bible. open the hard copy of the Word of God. Pray the Word. Is this all right with you guys so far? Your prayer matters because of Jesus and His Spirit. Pastor Michael Koulianos, this incredible man of God, he does some brilliant teachings. And I was listening to his podcast one day, and he said this about prayer, which is a throwaway line. He said, prayer is when the Lord becomes larger than the breakthrough. I thought that was just phenomenal. Prayer is when the Lord becomes larger than the breakthrough. It's powerful. Powerful. Your prayers matter because of who they are attached to. They matter because of who they are attached to. And I don't think we fully comprehend that at times, because we give God the cold shoulder when things aren't going that well in our life. You know, like anyone giving someone the cold shoulder when they've done something wrong by you, we've all done it. Come on, we've all done it. And we give that to God. We give Him the cold shoulder. Hey, listen, it's kind of like we think that our prayers were kind of because of what we had. But Jesus said, newsflash, when you pray, don't go on babbling and using fancy words as if you could bring something fancy enough that God could say, oh, that's a new word. I haven't heard that. Wow, jeez, I haven't heard that since my son died. That's incredible. I'm going to answer that prayer. No. It's because of Jesus, friend. Because of His death and His resurrection, the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Now God looks through His Son, looks through the lens of Jesus, the unrighteous. You and I are now made righteous because of Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed. Our holy Jesus Christ, the Bible says this, that He is an intercessor for us. Romans 8:34, at the right hand of God, He intercedes for us. 1 John 2:1, an advocate with the Father. Hebrews 7:25, always lives to intercede for us. I'm a little bit of a, you know, when I get lazy, I kind of bumble and murmur and stutter and, you know, I'm a quiet talker. Like this literally, what I'm doing right now, a miracle, right? Grace of God territory, right? So people will say to my wife, like, Jess, what did he say? And sometimes my son's kind of similar. He'll say something and say it quietly and softly and people will say, hey, what did Micah say? And I will interpret for them. Micah's words haven't changed. It's just that there's someone with covering and authority in his life that understands his heart and gives the real message to the person. He's under my covering. How many are grateful that you're under the covering of Jesus Christ? And when you bring Him those jumbled up words, not quite together, Jesus, could you take this to the Father? He says, yeah. It wasn't that good there, you know. And He adds, He says, Father, look at your Son. Here it is with my blood. How many are grateful that Jesus intercedes for you? And His Holy Spirit is alive, residing. Romans 8, 26-27, take this down. In the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness. Who's been here before? For at times we do not know what we ought to pray. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of a Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. I love that. I love this verse. Because the best news for humanity is God with us, Emmanuel, the Holy Spirit residing inside of us. God who is holy, us who is unholy. We couldn't get close. Who is grateful for the Holy Spirit residing in us? When you said yes to Jesus, now He comes. And now we can draw near as He draws near to us. Why? Because of His beautiful Holy Spirit residing in us. Your prayers are powerful, friend. They're powerful. But they're not powerful for the reasons you think. It's not because of the fancy words or the additional study or the book that you read. Those things are great. They are good tools. But it's powerful because of who they are attached to. It's powerful because of who they are delivered to through. That is Jesus. That is His blood. And that is the precious Holy Spirit. Your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are amazing. They matter. And whether you're in this room and you feel like, man, like I'm killing it on this intercessory game. I feel like I'm good. Or whether, you know, you're praying and you're like, has anyone had the moment where like you're praying? It's probably just me. I'm the unholy one here. But you're praying. You're praying. You're like, oh yeah, God, thank you for that. Yeah, God. You look up, 20 seconds. Oh, all right. I got a bit more time to fill out. You go back. 45 seconds? Oh, man. I've been there before. It feels like, oh, man, I don't know if I have it. I constantly come back to that verse to remind myself, guys, this isn't being done in your own strength. Guys, you don't need the fancy words. You just need to come to Him, position yourself. God, would Your will be done? God, would I be used? Would You change my heart? God, ultimately, I want to see Your kingdom come in my life as I pray right now. And I thank You that Your Holy Spirit is allowing this prayer to be delivered and to change the atmosphere around you. I want to challenge someone in this room. I didn't do this at 9 a.m., but let me do it here. Do you anchor your prayer life more to your Father or more to the breakthrough? Do you anchor your prayer life more to your Father or more to the breakthrough? Because if you anchor your prayer life to your Heavenly Father, you will keep praying even when you don't see breakthrough. Yeah, but if you attach your prayer life to the breakthrough, then you will instantly shelve it when you don't see it. I want to encourage you in this room. Where are you on that journey? Prayer changes me first. Prayer is necessary, not optional. Pray according to His will, not ours, and your prayers matter because of Jesus and His Spirit as the band joins me. Now that we know all that, the question to conclude today is, well, we know all that. Why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? God speaks to Solomon, 2 Chronicles. And if we come back to it, we see the path that is taken, the link between that and James chapter 5. Both deal with the real issue of prayerlessness. And that is this, we don't pray because we got a little bit of pride. Especially in Western culture, we're kind of a little bit self-made. I mean, think about it. I don't really need to pray for the finances if the job's going well and I've already got the job and the finances are coming. I don't really need to pray for the car and the vehicle. I've already got two cars. I don't need to pray. I'm sitting in an air-conditioned building and, you know, think of the luxuries we have as a Western culture. Think of a third world country. I've got a friend who came back recently from a mission trip underground Chinese churches. He said, guys, you wouldn't believe the kind of prayer that they have. You wouldn't believe it. And it's easy to see because they got nothing. And they're under the direct threat of death that day if word gets out on what they're doing. And because they have nothing, they have everything. And they're held so tightly to Jesus. I wonder if we can have that kind of desperation in our prayer life in 2024. Prayerlessness is almost always a humility issue. Almost always a humility issue. When I think about prayerlessness in my own life, for too long I believed the myth, or I settled for the temptation that it wasn't okay to wrestle with things in prayer. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. And so my prayer life was kind of really rigid and kind of regimental, and like I had these doubts and these fears, and I thought about that text, 2 Chronicles. Think about all the kind of emotions the Jewish people would have been feeling. You're telling us, under captivity, we're about to be our culture demolished. We are being indoctrinated by someone else. I don't know how long we're going to be here, generation after generation, and you want to tell us to pray. You think we haven't done that already? We prayed. We prayed. I don't know if you've been there before. The wrestles, the doubts, the fears. You feel like, I don't know, God, if I can, I don't know if I can come to You with this. Prayer doesn't eliminate questions. Prayer knows where to take them. Prayer doesn't eliminate questions. Prayer knows where to take them. In 2024, let me encourage you. Set aside time to pray. Seek God again. Maybe this is a gentle reminder. Maybe evening, maybe morning. Maybe you stopped praying because you didn't see the breakthrough. Maybe you stopped praying because you didn't feel like you were Christian enough. Maybe you didn't keep praying because life got comfortable, got that steady job, didn't need to rely on Him as much for the income. Whatever it is, however you find yourself in this room, let's come back to prayer. Prayer changes me first. Prayer is necessary, not optional. Pray according to His will, not ours. And your prayer matters because of Jesus and His Holy Spirit. Does He want to answer prayer? Absolutely. We've got to get the foundations right.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.